plate a potential nugget.
The other theme you talk about in the book is about how we use self-descriptive adjectives. And you say that we need to find those that amplify power rather than those that diminish our status. And once again, as I was sort of reflecting on it in the context of a lot of commentary around humility as a trait, I was trying to sort of reconcile the two to say, what's the distinction here, Jeffrey?
So first of all, the research, I don't know, in Leadership BS, I have a chapter on modesty. And I don't know what the opposite of modesty is, but I think one thing that is the opposite of modesty, I think most people would agree on is narcissism. And the research on narcissism is quite clear. The higher you are in narcissism, the more likely you are to get hired, promoted, and earn more money. And have, and at least by those measures, enjoy more career success. So, and Jim Collins, who wrote about level five leaders, who are, of course, modest with a fierce determination. Jim and I talked, and he, by the way, endorsed, the Last Power book. I talked to him about that. He said, it's interesting. Most of the modest leaders I saw were modest once they were already CEOs. I'm not so sure they were the level five leaders on their way to the top. And I think that's probably right. And many of the people, by the way, who claim to be modest and claim to be all these other things, authentic or whatever, if you actually did some due diligence, you would find, it's one of the things I talk about in the book in chapter 7. One of the things that happens when you have lots of power and lots of resources at your disposal is you can tell your story. The current thing in the U.S. is the story told in the New York Times about this guy named Dan Price, who was this, wonderful person with a zillion followers. And it turns out most of the stuff, he was also a sexual predator, apparently, according to the story in the New York Times. And, so here is this guy presenting himself one thing while he's something else, and I think that's true for many leaders. Leaders are able. Safi Bacall, who wrote the book Loonshots, has a thing who says that the aphorism that leaders write history is actually only partially true. Leaders not only write history, they rewrite history.
So true. I think in a way it's quite topical even in India. There's a lot of discussion about how much it's turning out to be a war of the narrative in terms of, how people are projecting themselves, how the government is projecting itself, and so on and so forth. So I guess we can have a whole separate conversation just on that. But that's not the purpose of this podcast. You talk about getting over imposter syndrome as often the first baby step towards power. Can you say more about that?
Yeah, well, I think no one is going to give you more power than you are going to want to take or claim for yourself. And so in order to have power, I think you have to believe that you deserve it. And certainly feeling that you're inadequate for the job or not up to the position is not going to be helpful for you. I mean, people are going to, people may see you more negatively than you see yourself, but it's seldom the case that they're going to see you more positively. Confidence is very important, as the research by Cameron Anderson shows. So you have to come across as though you know what you're doing if you want people to follow you.
And do you have, in your years of researching this, headline thoughts on how people can sort of begin to overcome the imposter syndrome?
I think you get help. You get yourself a personal board of directors or an executive coach or friends or all of the above to help you through that. I mean, human beings are social creatures. And so the answer to almost everything is to rely on the humans in your environment to help you become what you want to become.
And you also talk about having some self-awareness of where you sit in the ecosystem and what you need to win. Can you say more about the nuance here? What's the kind of self-awareness you're alluding to in terms of where we sit in the pecking order?
Well, I think you need to have a reasonably good assessment of your own set of skills and abilities, so that you know, where you need development help. You know, I think this is not unlike what you would have gone through when you were at McKinsey, or would not what unlike any executive would go through, where you get assessments and feedback from people that helps figure out what your strengths are and your weaknesses. Gallup wrote a book called Play to Your Strengths. If you're going to play to your strengths, you have to know what your strengths are. Mm-hmm. You know, you could start with that. If you're going to develop the domains in which you are more challenged, you need to know those as well. I mean, if I said to you, I'm going to make you tomorrow a professional basketball player or a professional cricket player, given the country, I think you would get coaching from people. You might even videotape yourself and get coaching in addition to that. The coaching would be around how to improve your swing, how to improve your posture, how to improve your, all aspects of your performance. And so I don't think leaders are any different than professional athletes, where you need somebody to tell you what your strengths and weaknesses are and to help you play to your strengths and buttress your weaknesses.
I would love to refer to something that Professor Tarun Khanna from Harvard said in the context of his book Leadership to Last when he was on the podcast. He speaks about three traits that separate leaders that build to last, and speaks about humility of demeanor as one of them.
And so I would point to the trio of phrases that we use: audacity of intent, humility of demeanor, and steadfastness of purpose. So I think the stories here, in a sense, are each and every one of them is an ode to trust, which was the title of my previous meanderings on development in emerging markets, in their own ways, in their own kind of beautiful ways. But they've all taken a very long time to painstakingly build. It turns out that's what it takes to build something that can redirect to society. There's a lot of humility in these people. Maybe to some extent that's what it takes to build coalitions around you who participate with you to co-create the, as I said in my earlier book, to create the conditions to create with you so that you can collectively be much greater than individual efforts would allow. But they're not shy about what they want to accomplish. And they have big goals. They want to emancipate women, or they want to, cure the world. They're not shy of ambition, but they're very cognizant of their human limitations and willing to say sorry and reflect on their life trajectory. And they're willing to take the slow and steady long road.
Back to what Jeffrey says, I do think there's a real tension between being humble and increasing one's power. There's possibly a tipping point beyond which it might make sense to switch to greater humility. But I'm not sure about the early days, like Jeffrey mentions. Let me talk about how I experience this tension. My full-time profession that puts bread on the table is what I do as an executive coach and as a trusted sounding board. The primary element that people find value in is my ability to listen intently. But here's the thing. Let's do a thought experiment, right? Just to get the point across. Imagine a room filled with 100 people. Now let's divide that into two groups, A and B, 50 in each. Group A are the speakers and group B are the listeners. Let's get each member in group A to speak on a topic of their choice for 5 minutes to members in group B, whose job is to just listen. At the end of this exercise, we'll probably know who the best 5 speakers are in group A, but we would probably not know who the 5 best listeners are in group B, because they are silent. Because silence does not help in signaling. The question that's often in my head is, if listening is what people seek value in, how do I signal that in a way that doesn't dilute me as a good listener, if that makes sense? I don't have any clean answers here, but would welcome any thoughts you might have in this context. Thank you for listening.